Welcome to CWH. My dad, Pastor Salem, preached the Word of God and encouraged his viewers and listeners to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, honor Him, and have a personal relationship with Him. Thank you for connecting with us. We are thrilled to hear from you and appreciate every one of your comments or questions. We would like to share a letter with you from a viewer in Mississippi that reads, "This letter and monetary gift are being provided to thank you for helping me through my time of need, where I found myself running to God the Father. I called your office to ask for help with prayer, and it was during that call that I felt a sense of calm. Our prayers were heard, and God has blessed me. Thank you for being with me. It has helped me so much. We hope Dad's message, When Jesus Comes Again, will be of encouragement to you. God bless you."
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Just seemed like the weeks whizzed by. And I tell you a little secret, the older you get, the faster they go. But that's all right. It means we're 1 week closer to being home. Home, sweet home, in that glory land with the Lord. And I pray that every one of you listening will get there. But you won't get there unless you have Jesus. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. And you just stay tuned. I'm going to talk about that. And because we want you to come along with us. And it's open to all who want to come to Jesus. Up to you. But we want to look first of all at Psalm chapter 9, where the psalmist writes, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings." Dear Lord, that's what we're doing today. We're declaring the things of the Lord. We're declaring his doings in this world. And one of the things that he's doing is he sent his son, and he died on the cross and was raised the third day, and all who will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. And we just pray multitudes will come to you today. And we pray for the sick, and we pray for the weary, and we pray for those who are having trouble, and we pray for the children. Oh, dear Lord, just bless this service to honor Jesus and to help his people everywhere. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to sing now, and there's a song in Trevor, "Over in the Glory Land." God bless you, Jan.
Over in the glory land where Jesus waits for, walking on the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, I'll hear the choir of angels and they're calling out to me. Over in the glory land where glory it will be. Oh, it will be glory there for me when I see the light on heaven shore. Glory, hallelujah, with God upon the throne.
Well, thank you, Jan, and boy, I'd like to go right now. And but one of these days, one of these bright sunny days, Jesus will come and take each one of us home, all of us who know Jesus. But you have to be ready. You have to have Jesus. The only way to heaven is Jesus. It's a person. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody gets into heaven but by me, Jesus. The way to heaven is a person, not an organization or anything else or works. It's a person, Jesus. And you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sins. And he'll cleanse you and he'll write your name on the Lamb's Book of Life and you'll see that glory land. I'm going to see it not because I've been a preacher, but because I have Jesus. I accepted Jesus 10 years old and he's been with me ever since and he'll never leave me. So, oh, that's why I love to preach the gospel. Oh, the gospel. It's never out of date. It's always there. Well, some letters. You get such nice letters. So I want to share some of them today. And the first one is from Langley, Washington. And this is from a lady that writes in and she says, I can only send this measly amount because I'm on Social Security. But I hope that our dear Father in heaven will crank up his calculator and multiply it over and over so we can reach the uttermost parts of the earth and take the message of salvation to all the souls who've never heard that Jesus lives and would gladly come in if they will open the door to their hearts. Reach out and take his hand. He's loving, kind, forgiving, merciful. God is pure love. All my love and prayers to my TV family from your sister in the family of God. Boy, did she preach a sermon. I just feel like taking an offering, a collection. But that's one thing I just thought, this television, you can't get an offering plate over across the ether waves or whatever they are. I can't get an offering plate over there. So you just have to send it in. And I'll talk about that later because we have to ask some money. But here, this is little lady. And she says, my measly amount. Now, you know, who do you think about when she talks about measly amount? Well, you'll think about when Jesus went to the temple and he didn't go to the temple to pray and or to preach or to teach or anything. He says he went over to the temple by the treasury to see what money people put in the offering. Now, if the pastor did that, you'd shoot him probably, but Jesus went and he watched to see what they gave. And he says, and he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. She cast in what they called two mites. And they didn't add what that is. It was one, a mite was 1/8 of a penny in those days. 1/8 of a penny. She had two of them. But look at what Jesus said. And the other they put in gold and silver and all the rest. Look what Jesus says. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. And he says that she gave more than all the others because she came out of her need and they gave out of their excess. And so that may not be a big offering, but it's God will take it and he'll bless it and use it. Praise God. Here's Grimes, Iowa. Your service has made a life-changing difference for me. After receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have a peace that is indescribable. I do not fear death, for I know that I will live with Jesus. I understand that God has a plan for us, which we may not know, and perhaps it is something that we have to endure. But there is joy in knowing that all things in this life will pass. And so here's a person who has accepted Jesus, opened their heart, just said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I'm a sinner. Don't say you made a mistake or you made a bad choice or something. I'm a sinner. I sinned. That's what you say. And he knows it, but he wants you to admit it. And then you say, Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins. And then I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. I did that when I was 10 years old. That's 86 years ago. And I can remember that as if it was last night. Oh, do that. And then at the close of service, in a few minutes, I'll give you boy, you can write and get some literature to help you. You got to have Jesus. That's all there is to it. St. Louis Park, Minnesota, thank you for loving God and loving all of us. Well, that's right. We do love you. I tell you, the Christian Worship Hour, it's a work of love. It's a labor of love. Most all of our workers are volunteers. We have some technicians and staff and such as that. They have to live because they're putting a lot of time into this. But most of us, all of us, the singing and all of the rest, is just because they love Jesus. We love you. And I hope you're coming to Jesus. Here's Lake Wales, Illinois. At age 10, oh, now listen to this list. This is a lady writing in. She says, at age 10, I did ask Jesus to save me. Since then, I've learned more about things and still am confused about if I really been saved. I've asked the Lord over and over to save me and have asked him to forgive all my sins, come into my life and the Lord, but I in my life and be Lord, but I still have doubts. Could I have really been saved at 10, but lack the insight to know what really happened to me that day? You know, I could have written that same thing. I was 10 when I accepted the Lord, and when I was a teenager, just starting high school, I worried about whether I had really said the right words. And you know why you worry about it? You know why she's worrying? You know why I worried? That's the devil. He just wants to torment you. And I'll tell you what you do. You take my favorite verse in the Bible, John chapter 5, verse 24. The words of Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right now, hath everlasting life. Then Jesus went on, and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. That's eternal life in heaven. John 5, 24. So what do? Just believe God. Just believe God, see? And you only ask Jesus into your heart once. That's all. And if you drift away, you ask him to forgive you. But you could be born, you were born physically once, and you can be born again just once, see? So don't spend time asking him to save you. Thank him for saving you, see? Chase the devil away. Okay, let me see. What do we got here? Harrisburg, South Dakota. Good old South Dakota. Boy, do I love South Dakota. I think it's the best of all the states of South Dakota. I'll get some letters, but that's fine. Send a gift when you send in your note. Here says, thank you so much for being my church. I work overnights, so I watch you on my phone on Sundays when I awake later in the day. I look so forward to hearing your good food. God food. I tell people I watch and listen to the Christian Worship Hour. I know some of my friends do as well. God bless your ministry. And this is what this is a gentleman writing. And this is what you do. Tell others. Tell them about this wonderful salvation. Tell them about the Savior. To listen to the Christian Worship Hour. And we'll preach the Bible. We'll do the rest for you. Well, here's quite a jump from Harrisburg, South Dakota to New York City. And this person writes, I'm a Christian since 1966. I enjoy your word and know the Lord has given all ministries a part to play play for the lost. My family is all lost, but thank you, Jesus, that they're spiritually saved. Thank you, thank you. The Lord has blessed you with health and the ability to preach. I attend Times Square Church in New York City. We are also blessed to hear the pure word, see you in heaven in Christ. See you in heaven. Yep, that's right. And so it's all through the one way, Jesus. I'm the way, Jesus says. There's no other way. Just got to be Jesus. So just take Jesus. Let's see. Oh, here's one I want to share with you. This is from LaGrange, Indiana. I thank you so much for preaching and the monthly newsletter. Both are such a blessing in my life. You help us to understand God's word in such a practical way that I can apply it to my daily walk with the Lord. Although I observe Quaker traditions of plain dress, minimum technology, simple, uncluttered living, and sometimes enjoy worshiping in silence. I accepted the Lord in 1979, was baptized in 1980. I lost my wife of seven years come September. No children. Mom and Dad have passed on, but the Lord blessed me with a very special companion, has helped me cope with all the emotions. Maggie, my dog. She's 11 years old. I firmly believe that God brought her into my life. So my question is, do dogs go to heaven with their masters? Any spiritual references? God bless you, sir, and the Christian Worship Hour. And so here is it. I do believe this is true, that God sent that dog, that animal, to be his companion, to be with him and help him. And so he's saying, now, would that dog be in heaven? And I don't know of any scripture that says that there'll be dogs or animals in heaven. I don't know about that. But I do know this. I know that when God created the Garden of Eden, he had animals in it. So if he had animals in the Garden of Eden, why wouldn't he have animals in heaven? So let's just trust that and just leave it with the Lord. But we're so glad this man is find some comfort and that we can help him. And then one more, kind of a different letter. This is from a gentleman, Kansas City, Kansas. Thank you so much for your super clean ministry. No gag music, no gag preachless preaching, no yelling, no pounding, just good gospel truth, blood of Jesus, cross of Jesus, heaven bound. All right, all to God's glory. That's exactly what it is, to the glory of God. And this is pretty hometown preaching and singing. And it's just a little, we're just out here in South Dakota. Nobody knows where South Dakota is. You probably think it's by South Carolina because it's south, but it's almost to the Canadian border. So we're a little ways up north. But it's just a wonderful place. But here we are out in nowhere and preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, I just think I'm going to use the Christian Worship Hour. I'm going to use that ministry all over the world. So we go all over the world. We go by shortwave radio and we go by television. And what do we have? We're just as big and we're just as great as the biggest production in the world because we're preaching the Word of God. We're preaching the Bible. And they don't have any better message than we got. And so preach the Word of God, preach the Bible, because that's where the power is. And I'm convinced in my heart that people are wondering, and they're saying, is there any word from God? We got a lot of words from the politicians, Lord have mercy. But is there anything from God? There's a lot from God. There's a holy book, and it's as modern and as up to date and as relative as printed just this morning. And that wonderful, beautiful Bible, that's what we preach. So that's the Christian Worship Hour. But listen, we need to have your help. You got to help us if you want this to continue. And so you send a gift to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember, 2002 Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And or if you want to send a gift on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. We get gifts every week. We get gifts over the, and how they send it over the internet, I do not know. But we get gifts from Norway, the Philippines. We get some from Germany. We get from all different parts of the world. And you just get christianworshiphour.com, and then you get donate, and you put on your there, and we'll get it in American currency, and we'll pay our bills. The Christian Worship Hour has been going now for almost 40 years, and we'd have no other income except what we get from God's people. And so you write to us and help us out if you think it's of the Lord. If it isn't of the Lord, give the money someplace else. But if God says to help us, then of course help us. And if you want to have our little new song, we have a little Bible study every month. This month, we're talking about the wonderful Savior. And I know you're going to like it. It's how the Savior and how he needs us in the harvest. And so it's all the scriptures there and everything. You can read that. And I want to tell you this too. If you send a gift, we are underwritten. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they audit our books and they check every penny we spend. And we're on the level. And we would be anyway. But if we have somebody like the ECFA to tell us, then it's just all the more sure, you know, they have been trusted and they've been checked. So you write to us, Christian Worship Hour. I'm going to give it again for all of you on the short wave. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002 Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. So now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord leads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give this part of your service for the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of your people and send us what we need to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, Jan. God bless you. I always appreciate Jan and her contribution helping us in the service. We're going to read from 1 Thessalonians, if you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And so we're going to pray for Somalia. And there is an organization called Open Door World Watch, and they make a list of the 50 worst places in that order where the church is being persecuted. And the second worst place on earth for the Christians is Somalia. The worst is North Korea. And then the second worst is Somalia. So in our prayer, we're going to pray for the people in Somalia. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with the 13th verse, St. Paul writes, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do comfort ourselves when we read this story of how you're going to come for your people, all of those who have opened their heart to you, all who have called on the name of the Lord, all the Christian people are going to be caught up together in the air. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will all be taken up in the heavens with you. And then someday you'll come back later on, and then you'll raise those who didn't receive you, and you'll have the judgment of the great white throne, and that will be a horrible, horrible experience. And we pray that that people everywhere will turn to you and be saved from the judgment that's going to come to the unbelievers. But if they refuse you, Lord, it's going to be an awful judgment. They're going to spend eternity with the devil and his angel in the lake of fire. So maybe, Lord, those who haven't accepted you, help them to right now to pray and ask you into their hearts. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless the service. Help the little children as they listen in. They'll be with their families, someone with their families. Help them to get the message and help them to put their faith in Jesus. And to those who are weary and those who are lonely and those who are looking for guidance, especially the young people, Lord, just this is your service. And we just pray you'll bless it. And help us as we read about this coming of the Son, that the Lord Jesus is going to descend from heaven with a shout. And we're going to, the dead in Christ will be raised, and then the rest of us caught up, and we'll be with the Lord forever. Oh, dear Lord, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the hope we have through Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now before the message, Melissa's going to sing a gospel medley. So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And that is such a true song, especially that third part, where great is thy faithfulness, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He'll help us through the hard times, the good times, the night, the day, it doesn't matter. He is faithful. Maybe we're not faithful to him, but he's always faithful to us. What a wonderful, wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior. Well, we're going to talk about this because Jesus is coming again. When, you say? Well, Jesus told us when he was coming again. Look this down, Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And Jesus is saying this, is when are you coming again? And he says, only the heavenly Father knows and nobody else knows. And yet we have people, I've been preaching 73 years, and every 15, 20 years, somebody sets a date for the Lord to come again. So they take a collection, they take all their money, and they're going to keep that. I don't know what they're going to do with it. And then the Lord doesn't come, and so lo and behold, they go to get their money, and the guy's gone. It's a racket. Nobody knows. But I'm going to tell you, there isn't any more. I think I'm uncertain than the time of his coming, but there's nothing more certain than the fact of his coming. He's coming again. And the world laughs at and scoffs at it. They won't laugh so much when they're in a place of a terrible torment, because that Lord's going to come. It's going to happen just sure as the day is long. So let's look at this matter. First of all, he talks about the life after death, because he had written to the people at Thessalonica, and some of them accepted the Lord. And then many of them accepted the Lord. And then he told them, now Jesus is coming again. And so they were all excited about that. And then all of a sudden, one or two of those people died. And Jesus hadn't come yet. And so they says, oh, what are we going to do? They died. Now what will they get to see Jesus? What'll happen? Oh, and they were worried about that. And so Paul writes to them. And he says, and he starts out and he says like this in the 13th verse. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That, in other words, he says that I'd have you ignorant. He's not saying they're ignorant people. The church has something just revealed in the New Testament. So there were a lot of things they didn't know, and it just simply means, he's just saying, you haven't been taught this thing, so I'm going to tell you what happens. And these people that have died and are buried, he says it goes to sleep. And it simply means that their body is at rest. The spirit and soul, as I'm going to talk about in a minute, that goes to be with the Lord. So Paul writes and he wants to explain to them. And he says, I'm writing this so you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. And he doesn't want us to grieve. He doesn't want us to sorrow too much when people die. And of course, we're going to be some sorrow because there's going to be parting. We're not going to see them again. But the heathen, they don't know that they'll never see them again, because they'll all be lost. And they have to have Jesus. You have to be born again. You have to come to Jesus. There's just one way. It's Jesus. And so those who know the Lord, he says, you accepted the Lord, so don't grieve as those who don't have any hope. You have a hope. You have a knowledge that Jesus is coming again. He's going to tell about how it takes place for the Christians after they've died, and also what's going to happen to the Christians that are alive. And that takes place in what we call the rapture. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. So Paul is saying, he tells it, that the first of all, that what he has to talk about the future and the coming of Jesus and the things that happen after death, it always comes from God. In the 15th verse, he says, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. In other words, God is telling him what to write by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God moved as they were by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit moved them. And so they're going to know about this. But all we know, the only source of information we have of what happens after death, comes from God. And we get books all the time. I just got a book now. And people have died and came back to earth, and they're selling books right and left. I think it was $20 a book, but I didn't buy the book, of course. And so they talk about all these things. They don't know what's going to happen. The only thing we know about what's going to happen after death is from God's holy book, the Bible. But he tells us quite a lot of things about. So he says this comes from the word of the Lord. So everything we're going to say today comes from God, comes from the Bible. And he talks about that. We just read the passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And he says, I want to talk about those who have fallen asleep. Now, Paul uses the term sleep, and he has reference to the body. The body is laid to sleep when we die, but the spirit and the soul of the person goes immediately to be with God, of the Christian, goes to be with the Lord, absent from the body, but at home with the Lord. But the body stays here. And so the person is not in the grave, only the body, only the house that he lived in. But sometimes the Bible talks about the death is called sleep some places. And for instance, it's called sleep because of the stillness of the body. It's called sleep because the body rests from its labors. It's called sleep because it is only temporary and it will be followed by an awakening. And so that's why we call the graveyard a cemetery. In the Greek word, it means a sleeping place. The cemetery. John Stott says cemeteries are dormitories of the dead. So the body rests in a bed in the cemetery until it wakes up. Jesus wakes it up. And then the spirit and soul will be united with the body and will forever be with the Lord. I hear that, and so we don't need to worry. Paul says it, puts it very plainly and pure and beautifully. And here's what's going to happen. He says in verse 16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That's when he's coming for his church. He's coming for those who have their faith in Jesus. It doesn't have a thing to do with the unbeliever. Their resurrection is going to come later. And so this is for the Christian, the Lord himself. He's not going to send an angel. And it's not going to be some kind of a spirit that's coming. But the Lord himself is coming. And that's what he said in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, when Jesus ascended into heaven. The angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And so the liberals, they explain and they say that, it's just an aberration. It's just when you go to sleep and you're not really. But Jesus said, they told us, the same Jesus, he's going to come again. And he says he shall descend from heaven in verse 16. So he'll come from heaven where he abides on the right hand of God. And he will come from heaven, but not to earth. He won't come to earth until a little bit later, after the tribulation and the millennium and some of those things take place. But this is where the people are taken, the church is taken out, the believers are taken out. And he'll come and he'll be in the sky. But it says this coming will be for the saints, for the believers, for the Christians, for those who are born again. At a later date, Jesus is going to come to the earth with his saints. That's a second part of his coming. And then his feet is going to touch on the Mount of Olives. Zechariah tells us that in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. It says, on that day, that is the day when Jesus returns to earth, on that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley, and half of the mountain shall moving north and half moving to the south. That's not happening in this text in 1 Thessalonians we're talking about. It's going to happen when he comes to judge the world. And that'll sure come. But he comes first for his church. He comes to Jesus in the air. He remains in the clouds. His feet never touch the earth. Instead, we're caught up into the clouds. And later on, maybe 1,000 years after the millennium and all, he'll come again and his feet will touch on the Mount of Olives. And then there'll be the judging and the great white throne will follow that. It says he comes with a shout. That is a shout of command, just like it is with Lazarus. He commanded that Lazarus come forth from the grave. And you remember the story. Lazarus is in the grave. He's been dead 6 days. And he's in the grave. And so Jesus comes and he calls, Lazarus, come forth. And with that was a command. And Lazarus, who was dead, had to leave heaven. And how did Lazarus feel? He had to leave heaven, had to come back to earth and come, and the spirit and soul comes from heaven back to that body and comes out of that tomb. And then a little bit later, some years later, sometime later, don't know how long, then Lazarus had to die again. He had to die twice. And Lazarus comes thinking, he says, boy, this is getting to be a habit. But that's what he was. He was called, that's his command, see? Well, then when Jesus comes again, it's going to be with a shout, with a command. And he says, this Jesus going and says, the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth. Now that's going to be when Jesus comes again, and he's going to command, and they're going to be raised. All the dead in Christ, all the lost at sea, all have been burned up in the fires, all that's been eaten by the animals, all of that by the miracle and power of God are going to come back, and they're going to meet the Lord in the air. And so he says, it's the voice of the archangel. And the archangel is a specially powerful angel. And we only have one archangel named in the Bible, named Michael. And maybe it's Michael that comes, I don't know. And then it calls the trump of God that shall sound. The Jewish believers would understand this trumpet, because the trumpet was used in Israel, even in the Old Testament in Israel. And that trumpet was used to declare war. It was used to announce some special times and seasons. It was a trumpet was sounded to gather the people of Israel together for a journey, like in Numbers chapter 10. In the Roman Empire, the sound of the trumpet was to announce arrival of a special person. And remember, God gave the law on Mount Sinai. And when he gave that law, this is what we read. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently. And listen to this. And the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Exodus chapter 19, verses 18 and 19. And so this great trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be raised up, that all over the world, wherever they are, whatever's happened to them, they're going to be raised up. And then we're going to see the resurrection of the Christian dead. The Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that all of these people, all your loved ones that died in the Lord, they put their faith in Jesus. They walked with Jesus and they trusted Jesus. And they died, and their bodies somewhere on earth, maybe gone back to the dust by now. And their spirit and soul is in heaven. But when Jesus comes again, they're going to be raised from the dead. And that spirit and soul is going to enter that body, a resurrected body, and it'll be an immortal body. Now we are mortals, and that means that we're in the flesh, and they're mortals, and they're going to decay, and they're going to die when we die. But when we have that new body, we now have an immortal soul, immortal spirit, and then we'll have an immortal body, and that will last forever and ever. And you say, how can that be? Well, Paul gives an illustration. He says you take a kernel of corn and you put it in the ground, and that decays and it dies in that ground. It disintegrates, but that plant will come up and there'll be another kernels, many kernels. And yet it's that not the original kernel. It's one that is raised up in that growth of the plant. And that's exactly the picture that he wants us to see. And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? Well, it can be because it's God. And you see it in nature. You put the corn in the ground and it comes up, and it disintegrates in the earth. And then it comes up and there it is, a kernel and many more kernels with it. Power of God. Don't underestimate God. Let God be God. And he is the power, and he can do it. But then that's had the also all of the Christians, all of the people have died for Jesus. Those who were lost in the Colosseum in the first century died for Jesus. And those who were crucified died for Jesus. They were terrible deaths and died from the animals and all the rest. They'll all be raised up, all of those people. And then, Paul says, we which are alive and remain, the Christians that are alive at the time that Jesus comes again, what happens to them? Well, they were told in the 17th verse, this same chapter. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to them in the clouds. Remember, Jesus isn't on earth. He's in the clouds, and he raises all the people that have died, all the Christian people, raises them up. And then we will gather together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Caught up, that means taken up to be with the Lord bodily. It's called the rapture. And it's as plain as day in the Bible. And in the Greek word, it's rapto, and it means to seize, to carry off. And so God takes all of us. We'll see the Christians all raised from the grave. And then those of us who are alive and remain, we're caught up to God with them. And we'll be with them. And we'll be with the Lord forever. It means to catch away speedily and be in the presence of the Lord and with the Lord. All in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what the beautiful part of it is, that just in the twinkling of an eye. You know, that's what death is, when people die and go to be with the Lord and they go through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, first of all, it's only a shadow. And you know how long it takes to go from when we die to be in the presence of the Lord? One breath. One breath. And so you say, well, the valley of the shadow of death. It's not a literal death. It's just a literal valley. It's just a shadow. And we pass through that shadow. Just one breath here and the next breath in heaven. That's exactly the valley of the shadow of death. And so the Lord takes us in that one moment, takes us to be with himself. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ comes, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we walk with the Lord. And we walk by faith now, but when that time comes, we're just going to be taken away and we'll be in the presence of the Lord. And won't that be beautiful? Esther Russell puts it like this. Says, oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. Sometimes the sky looks dark and not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on to no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. And then there's a chorus to this beautiful hymn. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. And so that it'll all take place, and there we're going to be, and we're going to see. And then it says, comfort one another with these words. Paul says, I'm telling you what's going to happen when Jesus comes. And so now you comfort, you tell the others, and comfort one another with these, Lord, he says. He says, we'll be with the Lord forever, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus talked about that in the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let me stop there. He says, you believe in God, that's not enough. You believe in God, believe also in me. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many, many beautiful rooms. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. That's what we're talking about here. I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, Lord, I want to go there, and I want to go to heaven, but I don't know the way. Lord, he says, we know not the way. How can we know the way? And Jesus says, I'll tell you the way. John 14, verse 6, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man goes to heaven. No man comes to the Father but by me, a person. I love the church. I spent 60-some years pastoring in churches. Now I'm with my church is this Christian worship hour. I love the church, but the church can't save you. There's only one way you can be saved, and that's Jesus. I am the way. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so we'll see Jesus, we'll be with Jesus. And we'll see our loved ones, and we'll be ever with the Lord, and we'll see our loved ones. And sometimes I get letters and they'll say, will we know our loved ones in heaven? Well, if they're a believer, if they've accepted Jesus, you will see them and you'll know them. And you'll know people that of the Old Testament that you never saw, Moses, Elijah, any of those great saints, you'll know them because when we get to heaven, we'll know everybody and everyone. And you remember the story when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter, James, and John were there and they saw Moses and Elijah and they recognized them immediately. And Moses and Elijah had lived about 900 years earlier. So will we know our loved ones in heaven? Of course we'll know our loved ones in heaven. They'll ask a little old lady that one time, if will we know our loved ones in heaven? And she says, well, of course, you think we'll be dumber in heaven than we are on earth? You bet. She had it. She didn't have a verse, but this whole thing is saying the same thing. We'll know our loved ones. And so we ought to comfort each other and encourage one another. Oh, we get letters from people that are lonely, and we get people that are sick, and we get people that have sorrow in the family, and we get people that have the divorces, and oh, so many troubles. The devil is afflicting the people of God. He's afflicting all the people, really. And so when the answer to that is Jesus is the answer. And he says, comfort one another, words. In other words, Jesus is telling us today, now to all these people while you're preaching this sermon, all these people that are listening, all these people are going through troubles and trials, comfort one another. He told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And so how do we comfort these people? We comfort them by telling Jesus, the good shepherd loves you. And if you take him as your savior, he'll walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll walk you all through life. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And I don't say he's going to take away your sickness or he's going to give you a lot of money or something like that. But I can tell you this, he will give you comfort and peace and he'll see you through and he'll never give you more than you can bear. So you have to have Jesus. And you have Jesus by saying, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins in your own way, in your own words. And so I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And we're told the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We're told and God tells us in Isaiah, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like wool. And the wool means when they're shorn. And next the body, that gray is that lanolin and that is just glistening white. And all of our sins and iniquities, Jesus says, God says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. You just pray that prayer and promise Jesus you serve him the best you can. And then you write to us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. If you want our little new song, our little booklet, our little Bible study, just put new song. If you want some of the pamphlets, if you've got questions or something, write and we'll answer every letter we get if there's a spiritual question. And so then, and just write to us and we'll follow you. No, it doesn't matter if you're in you are in the world, we'll send you the literature. And then if we're in the meantime, get the Gospel of John, read the Gospel of John and pray and talk to Jesus. Just use your own words and talk to the Savior and write to us. I'm going to give it again for those of you on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, or ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can send us messages and gifts that way. So now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the multitudes that have come to you right now and prayed that prayer. Now their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they belong to you. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll encourage them and bless them. Help them to get into the Bible and get into a church and find Christian friends. We pray for the children that are watching us today, that, Lord, their tender hearts, that they'll give them to you right away and early in life. To the young people, Lord, making decisions. To others who are struggling in midlife and having great troubles or trials. And to those who are on beds of sickness and shut-ins. Oh, we pray for all of them, Lord, because your grace is sufficient and you can minister to everyone if they just let you. They just open their heart to you and then just trust you and lean on you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we want to thank all of you for being with us today. We're just so happy for those who have accepted the Lord and those who drifted away and have come back. And now you pray for us and tell your friends about this ministry. And be sure to send us that gift, because we have to have your help if we're going to carry on. So just pray and then do whatever God lays on your heart. And then tell your friends so they'll listen in. And maybe some of them are struggling and they'll get to know Jesus. And they'll find the same hope that you have and that I have. And life isn't worth anything if you don't have Jesus. And he loves you. And he's knocking at your heart's door. So follow through. And so God bless you. We'll see you all next week, Lord willing. Maybe he'll come, maybe he won't. Doesn't matter. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.